You're listening to Conversations for a Change. This episode is brought to you by RKG Investments and Upside.com, a new way to buy business travel. Today's conversation is one I've been looking forward to having for quite some time now. I'll be chatting with Nick Sewell, social engineer and founder of Nick Sewell & Company, and after months of planning, our schedules finally aligned. We had so much to talk about that, in fact, this is part one of a two-part conversation. One thing that struck me as Nick and I talked was how both of our life missions focuses on humanity. Listen to part one of my conversation with Nick about changing the narrative and shifting the social paradigm.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Upside.com, a new way to buy business travel. Upside bundles your flights and hotel together for one low price. That saves your company so much money, they're able to reward you in the form of popular gift cards every time you buy a trip. Visit Upside.com and use promo code TRIP to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card the first time you buy a trip. Save on business travel and get a gift card every time. Minimum purchase required. See Upside.com promo code TRIP for complete details.
Welcome to Conversations for a Change. I'm Rashad King, and I am talking to Nick Sewell. Welcome to the podcast, Nick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nick, I'm excited to talk to you. Really, I am, because there's a lot of things that you're doing right now that I think is very important. You are the founder of the Intent and Impact Company, and you're also a social engineer. Now, when we first met, I didn't know what a social engineer was. I had no idea what that was. I literally, listen, the only thing that I heard, I knew that there were mechanical engineers, and I've heard of a social smoker, but I've never heard of a social engineer. I've never heard of a
I'm
social
so down
engineer.
With you.
So if you could, for those of us who don't know what a social engineer is, could you please enlighten us?
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me. And it's crazy because, you know, you are definitely a force to be reckoned with. So I think it's really, really awesome that you have really began to really build out your platform and take it to the masses, which is interesting. Because, I mean, you're definitely you're an incredible guy. So to have this platform that you yourself are building, and then you're kind of creating the archetype and the brand and the character of the brand that you're wanting to put out. So I think that's just phenomenal. Off top. So hats off to you for that, Rashad, because you know you're my guy.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And then to answer your question, you know, the social engineering came not as a title that I felt like I needed to fit into. It was more so about what I was creating. So, you know, most times if you apply for a job, you say, oh, I want to apply to be the chief financial officer. You know, I've gone to school for finances. I've, you know, helped companies, you know, scale their business X amount of dollars. And so sometimes it becomes something that we fit into. For me, I have been doing the work through the Intent and Impact Company and also through my other company, Nick Sewell & Company. And so the work that I have been doing was really around paradigms. And so one of my mentors is Bob Proctor, and he talks a lot about, you know, paradigms as far as how we've grown up, how we've sort of almost been engineered. So, like, I mean, programming is like another way of saying engineer, right? And so for me, it was about, you know, he talks a lot about, you know, how we've sort of been engineered to, you know, within our families and our society and our community. And for me, what I realized, you know, being someone of color, I realized that there's two types of law. That there's like the written law, and then there's like the social contract law that happens day to day. So like, whereas there were other times where to be anti-African American, you know, it was a written law, but yet out on the street, people were still, and even still now, but people were still extreme, you know, experiencing really high volumes of hate. And so what I began to realize is that, yeah, there is this written law, but there's also the level of this social contract, right? And so for me, I was like, that's the part that needs to be engineered, because we can create all the laws that we want to, but people, I mean, you know, there's like the law of the written law, and then there's the law of the land, obviously. And so what I began to realize was this invisible law that was this social law that needed to be re-engineered. And so I was actually talking to a friend. He was like, Nick, he was like, you're like, you're engineering like this social thing that you're working on, is exactly what he said to me. And I said, yeah, I said, I'm working on these social paradigms. And I was like, ah, social engineering. And it came to me, and it made the most sense, because I have been doing the work, but it was just it was interesting to have that talk with people about the work I was doing, but then it didn't kind of come to a peak for me. And I think in that moment, social engineering came to a peak. And so for me, it's about engineering this social contract, this social paradigm that we all exist in, but more so not from the level of just, you know, buddy to buddy sitting at the dinner table. But for me, this is about anchoring where I see us as a nation, as a people in the future. Kind of like our forefathers, right? When they founded the U.S. Constitution, albeit there was a lot of cognitive dissonance present.
Yeah.
However, at the same time, they have these ideas about, you know, what they wanted to be seen, what kind of world they felt like we should be living in versus now that we were not under the rule of Great Britain. So, or Europe, I should say. So, you know, it's kind of like that. You know, it's very much in that sphere. But for me, it's about that social contract. But shifting us to a place where, you know, where we all can work together. So what I'm, you know, working on is like this alignment.
I just don't know a lot of people that would even, first of all, hear that. Even after he expresses to you, you know, your friend about, you know, you're kind of engineering this social thing that you're working on. I mean, a lot of people, that's how, you know, at least for me, that's how I know things are divinely inspired, when it just clicks, when you just get it, when it seems like something just randomly comes to you and you're just like, oh my God, that is it. When it resonates with your spirit, like that is when you know that it's divine. And one thing that I, you know, realized about you and I, we connected, it really was like an instant sort of connection, you know, in a number of ways, not just in one particular area of life, but just in a number of ways you were able to kind of relate and connect with each other. And, you know, one thing that I was thinking about was, wow, I was reading online and I saw somewhere, I can't remember where I saw it, but I was reading, I think it was like a description of the Intent and Impact Company, and I was reading, it said that you move the needle of humanity forward by solving challenges, creating frameworks, and ushering in a new social paradigm. And I realized, oh my God, that's interesting, because I realized with myself, you know, I know my mission and why I'm on this planet, and that is simply to uplift humanity through creativity. And it's just something about connecting with each other on a human level, on a soul level, going soul to soul, that's so dynamic to me and so important to me. And it's really incredible how you talk about these social paradigms. Now, the question that I have for you is, when it comes down to the social paradigms, where are we at right now as humanity, as a human race? What's the paradigm right now? And what exactly is the necessary paradigm that you are trying to get us to shift to?
You know, one of the things, and this isn't about like me saying that, this isn't a Nick mandated thing. This is simply another way of saying that I'm tuned into a sensitivity or frequency of our universe, of our collective social paradigm, right? And not just here. Well, I'm currently on tour in Boston, so not just here in Boston or in LA where I'm from, but it's this collective thing. And so you know, we're definitely at a point where, and I think it's. Let me go back and say this. I believe that this new paradigm never not exists, which means that it's always present. And I think, you know, it's kind of like a new way of doing things and an old way of doing things. And I think that I think if you're not tuned into it, you can miss it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you and a friend looking at something or having the same experience.
Yeah.
You can or be in the same place. And someone can miss it, and someone can be very much present to it. And so I think that these paradigms kind of exist that way. And so I think part of it is me, you know, just the kind of person I am, considering that, you know, my time in entertainment and marketing and so on and so forth. It's just interesting to see how, you know, it's kind of like being an entrepreneur. You know, it's like what you've done up to this point. You know, what you've known up to this point has gotten you the results that you have. And it's quite evident, you know, right now, you know, especially with politics. I mean, obviously with marketing, there's a movement, social justice, you know, with economic justice, inequality, women's rights, you know, LGBTQ rights, and even men's rights, you know, and there's a sense that, you know, you have people who, you have a collective of people who are, who are wanting to move forward and create something new.
Yeah.
And then you have people who are like, well, let's make America great again. And it's this notion, and I understand that there's this notion of wanting to go back to the good old days, but I think that's part of the social paradigm. That's part of the programming that we've learned from our parents, our statesmen, our stateswomen, you know, our teachers. I mean, it's like, that's impossible. You know, it's about let's make America great today so that we're great tomorrow. You know, it's like turning around and pivoting, sort of like anchoring ourselves in the future versus anchoring ourselves in the past. And so, but then what we don't realize is that we create more of the same thing. And then we look up and we say, well, why are we still having this talk about racism? Why are we still having this talk about homophobia? Why are we? And so to me, you know, my brain, and even though I'm very much a creative, my brain is very much in like an engineer kind of brain. And once I've solved the challenge, then goes to this creative part. It's kind of weird in that way, or unique, I should say. But for me, it's about this place where, you know, we live in total convergence. I think that, whether you believe in one God, multiple gods, no gods, I think there, regardless of that, there's a place that we can get to as a society, as a culture, I mean, as a neighborhood where we can align. And I think that possibility is always present. And so for me, it's about, do people see this? And if they don't, how to bring someone into awareness? Because obviously, and let me just say, I talk about business verticals interchangeably. So I will speak on marketing, law, politics, entertainment in a seamless way. And so it's kind of like, you know, in advertising, it's about showing people this new thing so that it becomes the hot new gadget tomorrow. And so, you know, I see all of these different formulas. I see lots of different variables, but the principle at the lowest level is always the same. And so, for me, from my perspective, I'm like, well, if this worked in marketing, then this can work in the music business. And then if this worked in music business, this can work in education. And I think lots of times, I think people become really stuck on what's present, on the above the line thing, that they really miss these paradigms. And so, you know, when you ask me, you know, where do I see me going? I think I'm just a crazy optimist, I guess, like Steve Jobs, right? And he's like, you know, the future belongs to people who believe in the beauty of their dreams. And I think that there's something about convergence. There's something about me walking down the street and seeing someone just as someone else. Not, oh, they're distinctly obese, or they're white, or that person's Asian, or this person can't speak English. Yeah. It's, I mean, to get to the point where that socially it's just a thing. And I understand for some people that can be seen as a large task, but I think it's no larger than having a hit record. And I've had that, you know, I think there's an alignment that has to happen. So for me, I mean, I think that it's nuts. I think it's absolutely nuts that we are in the face of making or going through another human rights issue with the LGBTQ community. I think it's nuts. I think we've gone through this. Again, the variables are different, but the principle is the same. We've gone through the same thing with, you know, with African Americans when we were enslaved, then we were set free by the law, right? But then there was still this social contract on the street of don't come here, you can't come here. There's still this segregation that existed in people. Now in the written law, most of it said one thing, but there was this law, this internal law, this paradigm, this way of thinking about things culturally. And so I think, you know, it's interesting because we're still kind of fighting that fight. And I think we've said all these things and we've sort of created this story around it that we've continued to, you know, I'm not saying that we're in the same place or a different place, but what I will say is that these types of social contracts still exist. I mean, these things have even been shared with people who are in the White House currently. So where I see, you know, where I see things moving forward, the place I live is one, is definitely not being naive, but two, understanding that it's possible and it's never not possible. So it's always possible to connect into this new paradigm.
I would have to agree with you in saying that there is still disconnect and that it's very present and everyone, I mean, it's noticeable and, you know, it doesn't really take someone that's quote unquote woke to see it. It's just there. Like it's just there. Now you have this long history in entertainment. You built a Grammy Award winning talent management company and you had a digital branding and tech company. And you went to Berkeley and so many different things. You started producing film festivals and everything like that. You made this giant shift, because we've even talked about this before, how you were in entertainment and now you're like, that was then, this is now. My question, I wonder, have you always been this way? Like, have you always been aware? Have you always been, or if you haven't been, like, as a child, just think about childhood, but if not, how did you get to this point of recognizing that?
Well, interesting. And so it's funny because we have had this conversation multiple times.
Right.
And so, no, and it's interesting because so many people do think that it's such a career, you know, it's such a different career. And it's not actually, it really, really isn't, because I've always been, I guess for me, I grew up observing, you know, so there's an age gap between my siblings and I. And so, I was definitely the kid that was like, this doesn't make sense. Something's not adding up. And for a while, I would just get to a point over and over again where I was like, this doesn't add up and this doesn't add up. And then I guess I shifted when I got a little bit older and was like, well, why isn't this adding up, right? And for me, I think there are times where when I felt like things didn't add up, I wanted to find the solution. And then other times, I just wanted to understand the reasoning behind why it didn't work. And so, I've been that kid, you know. I was just sort of curious. But I had a fairly normal childhood, like most people, you know, have gone through a few crazy traumatic things. And so, you know, again, I just wonder, well, why hasn't this added up? It doesn't make sense. But the thing for me about entertainment, I think that's when things really began to start moving for me. Because at this point, I'm a little bit older. You know, I think I had gotten to a point where I was working in the film festival industry, where I was, producing a bunch of film festivals. And I always had ideas about how to grow something. And so now looking back, that principle that was at work was about this principle of constantly evolving, this principle of constantly growing, you know, this principle of expansion, you know, which is no different for a business in the business sphere. Is like, you know, when you want to scale an idea or scale a company or product. And so for me, it was, I had ideas about how to grow a festival, how to get more people. So we have this term called butts in seats, and it's really like a really raw number of the amount of tickets sold and the number of people present. And so I had ideas about how to get other ethnicity groups, other people with different, with varying genders, people with varying sexual orientations, people of other ethnicity groups to come. I mean, because I worked for literally a variety of types of festival. And so, you know, for me, it was about how do I get more people to have the same experience, because it's great. And I would get a lot of feedback, a lot of pushback, actually. And so when I decided to become an entrepreneur, I had even no idea the word was entrepreneur, because I was like, well, I need to work on my own ideas. And so then I started the music management company. And then it took that experience I had in the film world took on like another sort of layer, another layer. And I would be on those panels because of the success I was having in the entertainment industry. I'd be on great panels. I mean, with like some of the top 20 brands in the world, you know, and people who typically come to those events. And I see the same thing happening in tech as well. And these social media events I go to, you know, people come looking for the leading edge. They come looking for the new thing, the new way to model your business after, right? And what people begin to realize, it's kind of like what Steve Jobs says. It's like the people who are up here, the people who are making the rules are no better or different than you. And once you recognize that, then it becomes a game changer. And so for me, I would see that these people will come and they'd ask, you know, well, how do I get my song noticed? How do I get a record deal? You know, how do I get on TV or film or get in a commercial? And there, on one hand, there are the technical things that we need to know, right? But the other stuff that they were really, and what I had come to realize that these people were not looking for the technical way of doing things, because some of these people had already gone out, done their due diligence, and some just hadn't. You know, these are people who weren't even in the field; they were just in the parking lot. And so, what I began to see that these people were here looking for information, and the people that I was on these panels with, they were given these what I thought was bogus, whack answers. And it was like, well, you have to do, these are the six steps to achieve this. And I see this now sometimes in the space that I'm in with people who are like, they're thought leaders or social entrepreneurs or like lifestyle entrepreneurs, that kind of thing. And it's like, no, that's not accurate. There's not, I can't tell you six steps to get you to a Grammy. That's not how this thing works. I said, but no, the thing that's between you being here and you being there, what's in between those two spaces is you. And I was like, and that was always my talk on these panels. It was never like, well, you have to do these six things. I mean, yes, on one hand, know your talent, right? Know what a PRO is, you know about points in the contract, you know, do your own due diligence. But there's a difference between knowledge and the application of knowledge and the result you're going to get. And I think the difference in result is really based on personal leadership. And so I'd be on these panels, with great brands that we all know. And so when it was my turn to share, it was the complete opposite of what they had to share. And I'd tell the students or the people who are attending, I was like, look, I said, it's not a sexy answer, you know, but I'm going to tell you what it is. And if you're listening, you'll get it. And I said, listen, hands down, personal development wins games. That's just it. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And I said, it's not about who you know and who knows you. I said, that's BS. That's been a story and a narrative that's existed for a really long time, and it doesn't serve. And I said, it's about who you can connect with. Because in the business world, and I say this being totally separate, you know, with entrepreneurship, marketing, people tend to do business with people that they like. Unless you have a very significant coin, or I don't care about your attitude, I'm only after you because of, you know, your money or how you can exploit my product, I mean, exploit in a good way. And so for me, I realized that, and I realized having that conversation. I mean, I would have this conversation over and over and over and over again. And it's just like, there's two areas you got to develop, your craft and you got to develop you. And there's a guy named Jim Rohn who's like, you know, he's like, go to work on developing you. And that will take you farther than you work on the mechanics or the technicalities of a, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, of a job or a task. And so I began to see that, and I began to, and I had, that's always my conversation, but I began to become aware of it in a very different kind of way. And that's when I was like, it's the stuff that I call, that's what I call the below the line stuff that moves the needle. Yeah. Like, it's really that moves the needle, right? Because, I mean, we can put five kids into Harvard or Yale or Berklee College of Music or any of these great universities, and they'll all have a variety of outcomes, you know? And I think that part of that is the uniqueness of who they are. I think it's partly about, you know, it's about who they are. It's about, you know, some kids or some people are able to apply knowledge in a way that others can't, and others are kind of need help in that area. And so I think that it's about developing who you are. I mean, because you can go to school and be able to recite a bunch of information, but to be able to apply it, and I feel like that's what's not being tended to, you know, in education in our society, because, you know, we have so many people who are severely in debt in college, and it's like, but I can't get a job. And part of it may be market, but I feel like, I think what I'm getting at is that it's about nurturing the whole person. And I think it's this sort of invisible part, this non-written part of people, this, you know, emotional intelligence that needs to be further developed and nurtured in all of us. That's what prompted me really to make this shift. Sorry if that was a long-ass answer, but
you went into detail, and that, I mean, that's what this is about. This is a conversation.
Whew, and that's exactly what we had, a conversation. There is so much more that Nick and I discussed, especially about the business of the soul. Tune in for part two of my conversation with Nick Sewell and find out Nick's goal to change the narrative by impacting 1 billion people through tech, business, and college students around the world. Subscribe to Conversations for a Change today on iTunes and leave a review to let me know what you thought about this episode. For suggestions on people to talk to or topics to discuss, or for sponsorship opportunities, tweet me at RashadForReal. Follow me on Instagram or email me at changeconversations@gmail.com. Thanks. Talk soon.